want you to take your copy of Scripture and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to talk about walls coming down in our lives. I wonder if you're facing anything that seems insurmountable. If you've got anything in your life that's in front of you that seems like a barrier to your best. Now let me help dig that out for you. Maybe you've created this. It's a habit or it's a sin, and you know that it's there. If that's going on, that's probably the case, or you wouldn't be sitting in this room. You wouldn't be listening to these words. But you found yourself unable to overcome the difficulties that you're battling. It's a war. Maybe it's something that's occurred to you. Maybe you're a survivor of abuse, or maybe you find yourself in a relationship that's unhealthy. Or maybe it's just a financial burden that seems overwhelming. Maybe it's a future that's uncertain because of sickness in your life. Maybe it's the pain you're bearing because people you love are hurting. So I ask you again, are there things in your life that you feel like need to change? That you're at the end of your rope? In our church, most of the time, we're just slowly making our way through passages of Scripture. And so we have been in the book of Hebrews for most of this year. And now for several weeks, we've been in Hebrews 11. The theme of Hebrews has been that Jesus is the better way. The author writes Hebrews to a group of Jewish background followers of Jesus who have begun to drift in their faith. And one reason it's worth us hanging out in Hebrews is because every follower of Jesus can relate to that problem. We've all had that temptation to what we used to call backslide. We know we should be advancing, but it's like standing still on the treadmill of faith. We find ourselves going in the wrong direction. We're drifting. As someone said, you never drift anywhere good. If you're drifting, it's always taking you somewhere you shouldn't go. So again and again and again, through 10 chapters in Hebrews, the writer reminds us of the danger of drifting and the truth that Jesus really is the better way. Till he gets to the very end of Hebrews chapter 10, and he says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. If we are people of faith, if we are those who have followed Christ, we have to regularly step back and say, we are different. We're not supposed to be like those that are not living according to the word and the will of God. And so then chapter 11 begins. These chapters were put in there by men, whether this was a sermon or whether this was one long letter, it was just a continuation. Chapter 11 defines that faith. It says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then the writer begins to give us examples of faith. The faith of Abel, the faith of Enoch, the faith of Noah and Abraham and Sarah, the faith of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. And then we get to verse 30 in Hebrews chapter 11, our one verse for today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, say by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. There's a noted change. Instead of an individual, those heroes, that roll call, that list that we've been hearing of people of faith, we hear about the people of faith. Instead of him, we're talking about them. And it becomes clear that God wants us to remember it was his plan to take all of the people of the children of Israel to the promised land. Now, that's an important thing for us to note as we dive into what, for a lot of you, is going to be a familiar story for two reasons. Number one, I want you to know that God desires that all people entered into his promised rest. That's still the desire of God today. God desires that all of people enter into his promised rest. That's scriptural. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2. God, who wants all people to be saved, say all people, and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Say all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's important. As you read scripture, that's important if you are a follower of Christ, because that means that everybody you see is someone that God desires to enter into his rest. What in the Old Testament was called the promised land. That means that everybody in our world, that means the Jews in Israel, and it means the Muslims in Iran. God wants all people to know him. But just in case, I want you to understand that means you too. So if you're here and you're not exactly sure why, or if you're here and you've gone through some motions, but you're not really walking with Jesus, I want you to hear today that part of God's plan is that you enter into the rest that only he can give. But there's a second thing. God's plan still involves all of us joining the mission of Jesus. You're going to see today that it's never been just about a person, though we have some of these names listed as examples. If you are a person of faith, God wants you to join the march. He wants you to be involved in what he's up to. We see that after Jesus is raised from the dead, before he ascends into heaven, we have what's called the Great Commission. It's recorded in the Gospels in different ways, and then it's recorded in Acts chapter 1, where it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This week, I had the privilege of encouraging pastors in Honduras. Our message is simple. It's one of the same messages I'm going to give to you at the end of our time together, which is don't quit before you finish. As I was returning home, I was pretty tired. So I put my headphones on, which cancel the noise around me. I began to listen to something. And then I looked at the guy next to me. No headphones. Wasn't listening to anything. Wasn't watching anything. He's just staring. So I kept listening to what I was listening to. Then I felt my head kind of look over at him. And he's just staring. And then I felt the Holy Spirit of God saying, take off your stupid headphones. So I took off my headphones and I said, hey, I'm Paul. What's your name? He said, my name's Bill. Bill and I talked for the next hour and a half. Bill's a successful businessman. He's about to retire. He knows truth, but he's not walking with Jesus. He heard the gospel. Because I joined Jesus in his mission on that day. I'm still praying for Bill because God wants Bill to enter into the promised rest. And God wants us to help make that happen. And that's just a simple takeaway before you even dig into what this story is all about. But let me just give you the big idea for this story. So if you got something to write with, a pen, pencil, lipstick, Crayola, mascara, your thumbs or your finger, write this down. When we obey the command of Jesus and we walk forward in faithful obedience to his word, walls fall down and we experience victory. When we obey the command of Jesus and we walk forward in faithful obedience to his word, walls fall down and we experience victory. Listen again to verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. No names are mentioned, but a lot of us know this story. You remember it? And in fact, when I was little, I learned a song about it. It went like this. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Some of you know that song too. If you didn't, sorry you missed out. The story's simple. 400 years have passed since Abraham gets the promise. Just think about that. It's a good thing we learned at church that waiting time is not wasted time. 400 years have passed, but God's people are about to enter the promised land. Moses has died, but he's handed off the baton to his lieutenant because every leader should be bringing somebody along behind them to help train them in the journey. And so now Joshua is the leader, and you're going to hear that God tells Joshua, I'm going to give you the promised land. And I'm going to do it in a way that surprises everybody because you're not going to have to lift a finger in battle. I'm going to show you that it's not by your strength or not by your power, but it's by my power and my might, declares the Lord. And I want that stuff in my life. I really do. Several times this week, I've just knelt in prayer and prayed, God, would you give me those things that can only come from you? I want those things where there's no chance anybody would say, man, Paul did that and he did good. No, I want those things where people have to say, man, God must have showed up. And that's what happened. So what can we learn about the faith of Joshua and the children of Israel? Number one, God's word gives us courage to walk by faith. God's word gives us courage to walk by faith. If you're upset by the news of last night and this morning, the best thing I could tell you to do is get into God's word and let God's word get into you. God's word is truth. It's better than any newspaper you ever read, any social media you ever view, any news channel you ever listen to. God's word will speak into your life. And Joshua had to learn that. Joshua 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Guys, I just have to stop and remind you, if you follow Scripture, it's hard kind of in every context not just to be reminded that life is a vapor. Every one of us have a temporary existence on this big old ball. And we should probably learn to live with that in mind. Live with the end in mind. Moses is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. I want you to listen to something. This is not the topic of our message today, But a lot of what's happening in the world is based on things that we read and hear. Whether or not we always agree with how it's applied, it's based on the reality of what people believe from these words. Listen to this. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that encouraging? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, I'm going to plead with you about something. You need some kind of copy of Scripture in your hands regularly. It's okay if you're choosing to use an electronic copy. That's amazing. That's the world we live in. But the reason is because in moments like these, I would be highlighting or circling some of what I just read. Because that's not the words of Paul. No, I can mess up. I can say sinful things. I can say incorrect things. I just read to you the Word of God. And there were some pretty amazing things in there. Things like, I will never leave you or never forsake you. How many of you have ever needed to hear that in your life? Things like this. Don't let this leave your lips. Be so familiar with the Word of God that it kind of flows out of you. Things like this. Meditate on this day and night. Get to the point where you're so familiar with Scripture that you just think about it when you're not even thinking about anything. That when you see something that's occurred that throws you off, that you're not overcome with anxiety, but you're filled with the Word of God. This morning, I was in Scripture and doing my daily reading, and it took me to Psalms 119. And I heard this verse that I learned as an 8-year-old child. Psalms 119, 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Every time we read Scripture, we read history, right? Because it's telling us real things that happen. So some of it is descriptive, and some of it also has prescriptive elements. This applied to Joshua, but the truth that God gave to Joshua is applicable to us, and we know that because other places in Scripture tell us that. Like what I just read in Psalm 119. It goes on to say in Psalm 119, 15, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Say that last phrase with me. I will not neglect your word. I don't know how to make this more simple. If you want to walk by faith, if you want to see those things that seem insurmountable to you, overcome, then you get into God's word and you let God's word get into you. Number two, God is with us. And that gives us confidence as we walk by faith. God is with us. Say, God is with us. That's not some New Age mysticism. That's the very essence of what it means to follow Jesus. Because when the parents of Jesus were told that he was coming, they were told that his name would be called Emmanuel, because God is with us. When Jesus ascended to heaven, the Son of God, we just read what he says, "My Spirit will come upon you." The Holy Spirit of God, when you begin a relationship with Christ, the Spirit of God indwells you. God is with us. We love this building. It's got some hiccups and some challenges that we were working through. And my friends Matt and Jeremy were here past midnight last night working on things so we could worship today. But we recognize that the best of buildings is not the house of God. Your body is the temple of God if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, because God is with us. And Joshua had to learn that. Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, so he's heard the word of God, now he's going forward in this task, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked him, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" I'll come back to that. "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence, and he asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" And then the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. You understand what's going on? Joshua's going to take Jericho. He's going forward in faith because he's trusted in the word of God. And he's stopped because he sees a man. Now, who was this man? Well, we know it's not an angel, because Joshua worshiped him. And an angel would have said, angels always said, whoa, time out, don't worship me. Even in Revelation, the end of the book, this morning I was reading, at the end of time, they said, no, don't worship me. Worship the Lord. So who was this? This was the pre-incarnate Christ. Let me break that down, because that's a big theological word. Incarnate just means in the flesh. But this was the pre-nativity Christ. Before Jesus was born as a baby, he was. He's always been. I try to say this often because some people still get confused. He didn't just show up in the Gospels as Jesus Jr. He's always been. And here he shows up, the commander of the Lord's army. And so Joshua asked him the same thing some of you ask anytime you deal with any kind of issue in this world. "Hey, which side you on?" You go through any election in our country, both political parties say, "Well, if you really love Jesus, you're going to have to vote this way." You look at a battle like what we're facing in the world right now, political leaders say, "This is God's way." Let me just tell you, the question is not which side is God on. The question is, are you on God's side? So Joshua has this encounter, and he learns something we need to know. Our primary responsibility, if we want the walls to come down in our life, is to stand amazed in the presence of the commander of the Lord's army, Jesus the Nazarene. You still stand amazed in the presence of God? See, when you truly see God for who he is, this passage describes what you do. When you see God for who he is, you realize wherever you are is holy ground, because God is with us. That's why we wonder, how do you come into a worship service regardless of how the sound is, or regardless of what you see in the lights, or regardless of the style of music you hear? How do you come in a worship service that's focused on God and not just want to sing what we sang? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But there's more. There's more. It's not a building, right? Where you are, the presence of the Lord is, if you're a follower of Jesus. So when you go back to your house, you don't change your attitude. Your kids don't see a different mama or a different daddy or a different grandparent. Your spouse doesn't see a different husband or a different wife. You're seeking to live a holy life because God is with us. I firmly believe that one of the reasons we don't see walls fall down in our life is because we've not prioritized who God is and what that means. There are all kinds of circumstances that can get us off course and cause problems for us. But the first question we should always ask when we're facing difficulty or depression or discouragement is there anything in my life that's keeping me from acknowledging the presence of God and His holiness? And sin always does that. Because a holy God and sinful men are always going to be at war. Hey, let me pick on husbands this week, because I didn't do that last week because it's Father's Day. There's actually a verse in the Bible, husbands, in 1 Peter in chapter 3, that says if you don't treat your wife with the respect that God desires, if you don't love her as Christ loved the church, your prayers are hindered. So you want to live with this awareness of the presence of God and let that promote holiness in your life. Live in all of His holiness. Number three, God's way may seem crazy, but we walk by faith anyway. God's way may seem crazy. You ever feel like God's led you to do something that doesn't make sense? Oh yeah. Let me help some of you out. God's word does not stutter on the issue of our financial stewardship. In fact, God's word makes it clear those who follow Jesus should be the most generous people in the world. And it tells us that generosity has nothing to do with wealth, because the examples it gives us of generosity are typically poor people who gave most of everything they had. And so we look at that and we think, man, you go to a church where a lot of people come and worship and you've got bills to be paid. That should never be a problem, because it's full of Christians who believe God's word. But we do have challenges, because a lot of folks hear the word but think, that's crazy. That doesn't make sense. I already got too much month at the end of my money. How do I give back when I feel like I can't even... The answer is because God's way is crazy sometimes. Some of you are saying, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm in a marriage, and it's tough. I hear God's word that says I'm supposed to be in a covenant. I'm supposed to stay together. How do I keep loving when it's so hard? Sounds crazy, right? But God's way is always the right way. Joshua chapter 6, listen to this. So then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with the king and the fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Now, when he said, see, I've delivered Jericho to him, he hadn't delivered Jericho to him. Jericho was still in control of Jericho. It was surrounded by walls. Archaeologists have begun to discover these walls. The walls were so wide that they would race two chariots on the walls of the city. That's what was in front of Joshua. And God says, see, I've delivered the city to you. See, if you're going to live by faith, you've got to see it before you see it. You got to believe it before you understand it. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have the army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up and everyone straight in. Hey, if you don't get the picture, I just want to tell you, if you live by faith, you're going to look ridiculous to some of the people around you. Because the life of faith doesn't make sense until you begin to live it. Sometimes God takes us out of our way to get us into his will. That's the whole story of the children of Israel. Remember, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They were going down here. He took them way up here on purpose. Because his way was better than their way. He was preparing them for the promised land before he allowed them to go into the promise he had prepared them for. And he'll sometime do the same thing to you. Sounded especially crazy. After all we've been through, you want us to, what? I mean, can you imagine these soldiers? I mean, these were the best and the brightest of Israel. They got all their armor on. They're loaded up, ready to go. And Joshua said, all right. They said, what do you want us to do? We're going to walk. Huh? We're going to walk. Line up. We're going to walk around the city. And while we do, the band's going to play. And so they walk. Think about that soldier going home that night. Whew. Hey, honey. Hey, is everything okay? Yeah. Did you get hurt today? No. Was it hard? Not really. You have to fight a lot? No. What'd you do? I just walked. What? Yeah. He just told us to walk. Maybe tomorrow. Get up the next day. Line up. Let's go. Band's playing. What y'all doing? Walking. Goes home the next night, same thing. Next night, same thing. Next night, the same thing. Why did God do that? Because I think sometimes he wants to make sure we understand that there's no way this is happening but by me. You've got that thing that seems impossible. You've got that issue that seems insurmountable. You've got that past or that problem that you see no way through. There is a way because all things are possible with my God. And he tells me I can do all things by Christ who gives me strength. So we get to verse 15. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak. Here we go again. They marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. So the 7th day, they did it 7 times, and the 7th times around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua said to the army, shout, for the Lord's given you the city. This is a weird story. You're marching around 7 times. 7th time, you hear the priest. And Joshua's told you, when you hear the priest blow the trumpet, you sound, you shout. What did they shout? I don't know. Maybe they went, boo. I don't know. But what happened? The walls came down. God's more interested in our demonstration of surrender than he is our show of strength. That's a good one. God's God's more interested in our demonstration of surrender than he is our show of strength. So let's just pause in the story and answer the question. What do you need God to do that only he can do? Where do you need him to show up? We've been talking about this for weeks now. Life is a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. But you have to make a choice. You're either going to rest in the spirit and do it your way, or you're going to walk in the flesh. If you walk in the flesh, trusting in your own understanding, leaning on that, you can't also walk in the spirit. Jericho was no different. If there was going to be victory, it would not be a victory of the flesh. It had to be a victory of the Spirit of God. Number four, God's warnings remind us to keep trusting him as we walk by faith. So the walls fall. They're going to get the city. But God said, now, as you do this, be careful. How many of you know God's word constantly tells us to be careful out there? Just read through the Proverbs every day. It's like getting a slap in the face. He'll tell you, be careful what you say. Be careful what comes out of your lips. Men, be careful around women. I mean, all kinds of things. We're constantly tempted to drift. We're constantly tempted to go back and do things our way. So, chapter 6, verse 18, keep away from the devoted things so that you'll not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. God says, hey, you're going to get the city. Go into the city, but there's a part of the city I want you to, only one part. You just stay away from that. Because if you don't stay away from that, it's going to hurt you more than it helps you. Does that sound familiar? That's how the story starts. That's what happens in Genesis. Genesis creates that, and God creates Adam and Eve. He says, I'm giving you this garden. You can have everything in the garden except this. Stay away from this, because if you mess with this, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to help you. And that's the story of our lives. You have freedom in Christ. This is not about legalism. It's not about I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. But there are things throughout Scripture where we learn, hey, if I want to walk with Christ, if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, there are some things I must recognize. I can't gratify the flesh. I can't do whatever I want to do. Because if I do, it's just going to create more walls. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. And then it even tells us the names of those who were unfaithful. Be careful out there. You'll always be tempted to go back and try to do things your way. It's a daily battle. Last thing, number 5. God's way will always require endurance as we walk by faith. For the Christian, endurance is simply faith expressed over time. Are you enduring? When we walk by faith, we're less focused on the outcomes and we're more focused on living by obedience to the commands of God. So maybe you just need to try this. I'm going to live by faith today. I'm going to stop worrying about tomorrow. By the way, the Bible tells you not to do that because it says who can control what happens tomorrow. So I wake up every day and say, I'm going to live by faith today. I'm going to take it by faith today. Maybe it's this. You feel like, man, I don't know if I'm on number 4 or number 5 or number 6. I don't know if I'm getting close to number 7. I don't know how many laps I've done. Maybe you just need to say, God, I'm going to start thanking you for the extra laps. I'm going to start thanking you for the time I'm spending in the waiting room because you must be doing something in me because you want to do something through me for you. So God, thank you for today. I don't know how many laps I've done, Lord, but I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to listen to your plan. I'm going to endure because I know that living by faith is expressed by my endurance on a daily basis. That's what we do. That's why Paul, near the end of his journey, would talk about his life and all that was in the rearview mirror. It's how a lot of us spend our time, thinking about the good old days. Thinking about all we've done in the past. But Paul, after stating all those things, said, I'm not focusing on that. He says, not that I've already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. Say, press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul would come to the end of his journey, and he would say, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. What a story. Amazing things happen when people of faith walk by faith. Walls come down. Barriers are removed. Burdens are lifted. Speaking of burden, what's up with all the sevens? Did you catch all the sevens? It's like you're going to do this for 7 days. You're going to do this 7 times on the 7th day. After the seven, I mean, it's like a, what's up with that? Let me tell you what it's not. This is not saying, hey, there's a science here, and if you add this 7 and that 7 and then subtract that 7, you get another number. And guess what it is? It's 7. No. When you get around somebody and they're treating the numbers in the Bible like a mathematical equation, at the very least, be a little wary. It's not a prescription. So I want you to hear me say that. I don't want you to go find your dream home this afternoon and say, I'm going to march around that thing 7 times for 7 days. No. This is not a prescription. As much as I would like it to be, it's not an offering mandate. Hey, I'm just telling you, if you just give $777 today and 77 cents, the Lord will bless you. No. Where did we first hear about seven? God created everything that was in 6 days. And what happened on the 7th day? He entered into rest. What does the Bible call the promised land? Rest. In the New Testament, when it's talked about, like in Hebrews 4:3, now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. You see, we ultimately enter into rest in our life by trusting and obeying the Word of God. Our salvation never has rested in what we do. It's always rested in what He's done for us. So don't quit before you finish. You'll miss out on the promise. You'll miss out on the rest. By the way, I've told you this before, but who's the hero of this book? Now, church, that was one of those times. If I give you what seems like an easy question, It's an easy question, and there's only one answer. Who's the hero of this book? Yeah, you got it. Jesus is our Joshua. Joshua was another one of those in Scripture that was a type of Christ. Joshua, that Old Testament name, you know how that's translated in the New Testament? Jesus. Joshua just means one who saves. Jesus is our Joshua. And those walls of Jericho, that's the sin in our life. And Jesus is the only thing that can deal with the sin in our life. So let's do this. Let's obey the commands of Jesus. Let's walk forward in faithful obedience to his words. Let's watch the walls come down. And let's experience victory. Would you pray with me? I wonder how many of you would say, Pastor, there's some things in my life, some walls or barriers. I hear the truth of God's word, and I know I need to walk by faith, but would you pray for me? Maybe just by lifting up your hand, you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Across this room, anybody in that category today? That's right. I see those hands. Several of you. Probably more of us than are lifting our hands. But I see that. Now, some of you have never begun a relationship with Jesus. And I just need you to know that the walls are always going to be there until you do that. So maybe today you would just cry out to Jesus. Remember that verse I gave you, Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe today you just need to call on the name of the Lord. Like this. Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. You're alive today. You're alive today. I'm ready to follow you. Come into my life. Take control. Tell him thank you. Just prayed that prayer. I'm going to tell you in a moment how you can express that to us. But one of those ways is when we stand and begin to sing in a moment, just come and take the hand of one of the pastors that are standing here, and they'll receive you and welcome you into God's family. I want to pray for all of us, and then we'll stand and we'll worship through song. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to say thank you. You've done it again. You're good. You do good. You are good. In this moment of worship, would you just allow us, whether in our seats or here at these steps in prayer or with a pastor, would you just help us to respond to what you're doing in our lives for the glory of your name, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand together with me? Sing these familiar words. I have decided. Sing this out.